And turn to Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13. If you do not have a Bible this morning, I'd encourage you to use a pew Bible. And you'll see some great truths here in the Word of God this morning, and I believe it'll be a real blessing to you. Boy, the singing this morning was tremendous. One of the blessings of sitting up front here is I can hear all of you as you sing. And you did a great job this morning. That last song that we sang, that line where it speaks of the angels roaring as Jesus is risen from the dead. I wonder what that must have been, quite a scene in heaven as the angels were watching all of this. And by the way, the Bible teaches that the angels watch us, and they learn actually from our faith. In the book of Ephesians, it teaches us that. But can you imagine the scene in heaven as the angels are gazing upon all that's transpiring? A little tiny place, which is really, I guess, Jerusalem is the geographic center of the world. And there that morning, the stone is rolled away. Jesus is risen. Wow! It must have been quite a roar in heaven. Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 17. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work; in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoice for all the glorious things that were done by him." Let's pray. Lord, bless the preaching this morning. Please help me. Please use me as your instrument and your vessel. Despite my own faults and failures, Lord, I ask that you'd use me to take this message, speak to our hearts, and draw each of us closer to you. I pray, Lord, that if there be someone here this morning that has never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you'd bring conviction to their heart, the reality of the fact that they are lost and on their way to hell, but that there is a God in heaven who loves them, who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die and pay for their sins, and that they can be saved from their sin. They can have a home in heaven and an eternity that awaits them with our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, bless all that we're about to say and do in this portion of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So our title of our message this morning is, we believe that Jesus is the cure. That Jesus is the cure. So let's look at some things here in these several verses and just kind of come to an understanding of what's taking place. First, we see that this woman, in verse number 11, she has what the Bible calls a spirit of infirmity. So what was this infirmity? She had been bent over for 18 years. I can only imagine that she walked like this for these 18 years. Just bent like this, looking at nothing really but the ground, and maybe a little bit of what she could see, just a little bit above that. And not only would that be a painful situation, but it would be painfully humiliating as well. People would look at her. They would see her. I'm sure young children, they would comment about her. She would hear those comments. And then, of course, we see the duration of this, 18 years. It doesn't say that she had this from a child, but she's had this for 18 years. She's called a woman here. 18 years. And I think one of the reasons that it's listed here, and we'll see as we go on and as Jesus healed her, so people knew. This wasn't something that all of a sudden one day she woke up with a backache, and then, you know, by the afternoon she was feeling a little bit better, or the next day. For 18 years, so it was well known that this woman had this infirmity, had this affliction. And it seems that she was a regular attender of the synagogue. I didn't read it, but notice in verse 10, it says, and he, that's Jesus, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So this is taking place on the Sabbath, and we know it's the Sabbath because of the challenge later on in these verses in verse 15 with regards to Jesus' healing on the Sabbath. And so it seems that this woman regularly attended the synagogue. And so we can commend her for this, even though she had this affliction, and even though she was going through all of this, it seems, again, a regular attender of the synagogue. And perhaps she went because she found consolation there. It was a place where she could go, a place that she could be close to the Lord. And by the way, that's what a church ought to be about as well. Amen? It ought to be a place where people can come that are going through whatever that affliction might be, and whatever that need might be. We also, as we get into this message this morning, we realize that this affliction, the Bible says that this was some type of a satanic attack upon her. Now, I personally don't believe that this woman was satanically possessed. I think she was satanically oppressed. And there's a difference. And I'm not going to preach on this morning, but I believe that if you are a child of God, if you have received Christ as your Savior, then you cannot be satanically possessed, but you can be satanically oppressed. I'll say more about that in a minute. And one of the reasons that I say that, again by way of introduction, look at verse 16. Jesus says, and ought not this woman being a, and see these next three words, a daughter of Abraham. When Jesus makes that remark, a daughter of Abraham, he is not primarily talking about the fact that she was a Jewish woman. She was a Jewish woman. But the phrase, a daughter of Abraham, is a phrase, actually, in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 7, Paul uses this kind of an idea with regards to people who are of faith. People who are of faith are the children of Abraham. Abraham was the father of our faith. So while I'm not necessarily saying that this woman had already placed a faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, she was a woman of faith. All down throughout Jewish history, there were people of faith, people who were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And so, whatever type of faith that she has, I believe she was a woman of faith. I've always wondered about that, just as a side note. There had to be an entire transition period in the days of Christ when He came, when He was presenting Himself as the Messiah. There were those who were looking for and waiting for the Messiah, and then Jesus comes and He presents Himself as the Messiah. And I say that because I think it lends itself to what I want to speak to you about this morning. So the title again is, we believe that Jesus is the cure. And Jesus has come to loose this woman from her infirmity. So really three simple points to this message that are on your handout. We want to talk this morning about the spirit of infirmity. We want to talk this morning, and we must recognize that. We want to talk this morning about recognizing that there is a spiritual remedy for each and every one of us. And we must recognize that the Master's touch is a spiritual opportunity. Because I want to approach this message this morning primarily towards believers, towards those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. The reality is, we all have some type of spiritual infirmity going on in our lives. Often we bring it with us into our Christianity. Notice it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 on your handout. Paul writes this and he says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." It's interesting, but a lot of Bible commentators believe that this woman and the cause of her being bent over, well, we already know that there was some type of spiritual attack that was taking place in her life. But many of them believe that part of her problem was not only physical, it was emotional, it was spiritual. There was something perhaps in her life that caused her to be this way. She wasn't always this way. For instance, Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 17, he speaks of this, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Have you ever been afraid? Yes, amen? Times in your life? Are you a born-again believer? Yes. Can you be under the spirit of fear? Yes. You understand what I'm saying? So here's a woman of faith, but she's under spiritual attack. And she's cast down. And you and I, we should recognize that. We should recognize that we've sang some wonderful songs this morning, but one of the songs that we sing, it's really one of my favorite lines in the song, but when we accept Christ, it says, all of our chains have fallen off. But can I be honest with you? It is true that our sins have been forgiven, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. But there are times when Christians bring some chains into their Christian life with them. And part of the wonderful thing about a Christian is those chains that you bring with you into your Christianity, the same Savior that died for you, was buried and rose again, and has given you eternal life, can break those chains here and now. And that's what we want to think about this morning. The spirit of infirmity, it assumes many forms in our lives. It really does. People who are consumed by worry. I'm talking about born-again, Bible-believing people. They're consumed by worry. That's a chain in your life. That Jesus doesn't want that chain to be there. People who have problems with anger. That's a chain sometimes people bring into their Christian life with them. Or bitterness. There are people who are just very insecure. That's a chain that can bind a person. Sometimes these things or these insecurities, they cause people to be dishonest or even to lie. Pastor Ethan often says, there are things that come that are in our lives, and he might not say it exactly this way, but he kind of puts it this way. Don't be that person that says, I've always been this way, I'm always going to be this way, and it's never going to change. That's a chain that's in your life. Whatever you want to plug into that equation. They keep us in bondage. People who have a problem with jealousy, we talked a little bit about that in our Wednesday Bible study. People who are lonely. Loneliness. A songwriter from my generation, if you'll give me this, said this, that your prison is walking this world all alone. People go through life all alone. It's like a prison. Or maybe you've gone through a broken relationship and that loneliness can feel like a prison to you. People are in the bondage of alcohol. Christian people, pornography, drugs, gambling. So often our world can identify the problem, but they don't have the solution. We have the solution in Jesus. And oftentimes, now listen, oftentimes our spiritual infirmities, whether it's one of those that I just mentioned or something else that you can identify with personally, these are manifested in our lives. This bondage in our lives is because of some perhaps actions that we've taken, some involvement in things, or perhaps it's because of the actions or the involvement of someone else. It could be from way back in the days of your childhood or your teen years. We don't know what this was going on with this woman. And maybe for her it was just a slow process. And she didn't, it didn't just all of a sudden happen. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I'm speculating. Maybe I'm wrong and maybe it did, but just for the sake, it doesn't necessarily have to happen that way. You know for yourself, as you get older, there are things that gradually come into your lives physically that have an effect. But in my mind, as I look at this woman and I think about this woman and all that was going on, I think of her as like some of those little boys and girls downstairs. They're just alive and they're just full of brightness and youthful exuberance. And I think of her that way. And something happened, though, over a period of time. And now she's both physically and I think maybe spiritually and emotionally, she's just kind of struggling through life. And maybe it happened gradually. Maybe it didn't. I remember, or I knew of, a young boy that had gotten involved in drugs and he got involved in alcohol. He wasn't raised that way. He was raised in a Christian home. And there was it was a good home. It wasn't a perfect home, but it was a good home. And but he got involved in all of that. And one day, his mother came to him and said, "Son, what happened? You used to be such a..." "You used to be such a happy boy." Because you see, the drugs and the alcohol and the bondage, he was going through life bent over. His view was no longer toward heaven. His view was just for the things in this world. But whether it's that extreme or even you as a believer, there are things that we need to be aware of, spiritual infirmities that come into our lives. Guilt and regret from things that we've done. Pain from things that we've done. And we need to be careful because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He knows that. I've ministered to people who have accepted Christ as their Savior, but prior to that, They've had an abortion and they're dealing with all of that. Or I've ministered to people who've gone through the pain and the heartache of going through a divorce and that leaves just a lasting effect or can leave a lasting impact upon your life. And if we're not careful, Satan will take these things and he'll place us in bondage to these things. There's nothing that he can do now that you've received Christ as your Savior. Nothing. But he wants to destroy your walk with the Lord. He wants to rob your salvation. He wants to put you in bondage. He wants to tie you up in knots. And there are times he's very successful. So we recognize in this woman the spiritual infirmity. But then we recognize that there is a spiritual remedy. Amen. There is a spiritual remedy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, look at it, it's on your handout, take a look at it. Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, for you that don't know, the yoke he's talking about here is the yoke of an oxen. You have two oxen. As they would plow the fields, there would be a yoke. We still have them. You can see them today in antique stores and things like that. They're made of wood. They put the two oxen so the oxen could go down and plow the field together. And he's just reminding us, listen, believer, listen, he's saying to you, born-again believer. He's saying, come to me with your burdens. Come to me, you that are heavy laden. Let's take my yoke upon you. Let me walk with you. Let me teach you. Let me guide you. Let me strengthen you. Let me be there for you. Now, I want you to see something very important here. Look again at verse 11. "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together." Maybe that's bowed together. I guess it's bowed or bowed. You get the point. But look at the last part of it. "And could in no wise lift up herself." That's an important point to this point of the Scripture here. Why was that? Because in verse 16, Satan had bound her. Listen, if I was to bring someone up here this morning, and I had a lot of rope, and I tied that rope around them, they would have no ability to get out of that rope. You understand what I'm saying? They'd be tied. What would they need? They would need someone to come along and someone to untie them. But I'm saying to you this morning that you and I, we go through life sometimes and we're dealing with past experience or past heartaches or past hurts or whatever it is and past sin that we've gotten involved with, and Satan likes to come along and Satan likes to just take that, tie us up in knots. And so then all of a sudden, the freedom, the liberty that Jesus Christ wants us to have, it's no longer there. But if we'll allow Jesus to come along, if we'll allow Jesus to be the one to loose us from those chains of bondage, I want you to understand this morning that He and He alone can do it. But we must recognize that we are incapable of breaking free ourselves. And having come to that recognition of that infirmity, we have to turn to the Lord. And I don't care who you are this morning. It'll happen in your life. You know, maybe everything goes right for you all the time. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're that one person in the auditorium this morning that everything, every day goes right for you and you never have to deal with any of these things that I've mentioned. But I would tell you, you're the exception, not the rule. Listen to this quote. Are you ready? Are you listening? Listen. "The devil has not tied me up for 18 years at a stretch. And I do not think he ever will. But he has brought me into sad bondage many a time." Let me read that one more time. "The devil has not tied me up for 18 years at a stretch, and I don't think he ever will, but he has brought me up into sad bondage many a time." You know who said that? A man that was called the Prince of Preachers. A man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who in the 1800s, for you that don't know that name, he would be the Billy Graham of his day. He shook continents for Christ. Spurgeon suffered from depression That's what he was talking about there. He recognized before his time that the answer was Jesus Christ. The devil can tie us up in a moment's notice. A discouraging word, a financial setback, a thought from the past, insensitive of others to us. Even world events. I ministered to a man many, many years ago. He's a dear man. He's with the Lord now. He got so consumed with watching the news and everything that was going on in the world that he literally, as a born-again believer, became suicidal. But we have a spiritual remedy. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 121:1, David said this, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." Remember David? He often said, "I'm cast down. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." See, he understood there was a spiritual remedy. Listen, there is no sin in admitting that you struggle with things. None whatsoever. Turn to the spiritual remedy. Turn to the great physician, Jesus Christ, and talk to him about it. He says in Isaiah, "Come now and let us reason together." We understand we need to go to the Savior to save us, but listen, we've all brought things into our Christian experience, or in our Christian experience, things happen, things take place, we struggle with them. Don't let Satan bind you. Jesus doesn't want you to be bound. He wants you to be set free. When we quote out of John chapter 8, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth." You know how it ends. How does it end? "And ye shall know the truth and set you free from what?" Basically from yourself. So whatever you've experienced in life, whatever you're dealing with, Jesus is there to break those chains. Don't let those chains keep you bound to your entire Christian experience. Now, there are things, I'm not saying to take any of these, there are things that I've mentioned, they're not to be taken lightly. But I want you to know Jesus will set you free. You know, there was a very cruel way that they used to, in Bible days, keep animals under control. They would take the head of the animal and they would tie the head of the animal to one of its front legs. It's cruel. Satan wants to do the same thing to you and me. So Jesus comes along and he sees this woman in verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he's calling you to him this morning. Right now, however the Lord is speaking to your heart, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever you feel that you're in bondage, you can't, "I just can't get this, I can't get past this." No, you can't, but Jesus can help you get past it. Because you see, you're bound. You're tied up. You can't loose yourself. But you have to recognize that you have a spiritual infirmity, and you have to recognize that there's a spiritual remedy. The touch of the Master's hand. Verse 12, "And Jesus saw her and called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Wow. 18 years. In fact, it says at the end of verse 17, "And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." Oh, listen, you and I, we must recognize the touch of the Master's hand is a spiritual opportunity just to glorify Him, just to bring Him praise and to bring Him honor. These critics, there's always a critic. Can you imagine the mindset of the rulers of the synagogue who are indignant in the fact that Jesus healed this woman on the Sabbath day? Can you just see the uncaringness, the callousness of these men? You know, there are six other days. Why did you have to heal her on the Sabbath day? And by the way, there's a whole message in why he healed her on the Sabbath day. And Jesus could have healed her any day that he wanted. And he says to them, listen, you hypocrites. You guys, you own ox and you own asses and you take them and you water them. Or look what he says over in chapter 14. He deals with the same issue. Look at verse 5. And he answered them saying, listen, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightaway pull him out on the Sabbath day? He's arguing from the lesser to the greater. He's saying, you guys are such hypocrites. If you had an animal that fell into a ditch, even though it was the Sabbath day, and even though you would be breaking the law, you would take that animal and you would pull that animal out of the ditch. And now, he says, you have a woman here who's been crippled up for 18 years. That's why I love what Pastor Ethan, I don't know if it was last Sunday night, it wasn't that long ago, but you know, in a growing church, when new people are coming, they're from all different backgrounds. They have all different, everybody brings something different with them into the equation. And that's okay. It's okay. Because we believe Jesus is the cure. So it's an opportunity for you and I to glorify the Lord. They all rejoiced, but wouldn't you think the one that rejoiced the most was the woman? I mean, there was a lot of rejoicing going on, but I'll guarantee you nobody was rejoicing as much as this woman. Wow. And I'll guarantee you that she told as many. Can you imagine when she left the synagogue and she's walking? She entered the synagogue walking like this. She left the synagogue walking with her head held high, praising and glorifying God. Wow, what a testimony. What a testimony. Can you imagine if she walked down the street for those that weren't in the synagogue and she would walk by and the little children would say, Mommy, Daddy, that's the woman for 18 years. She was all bent over. What happened to her? What happened to her? Or the wife would say, Honey, come on, look at their sister, there's so-and-so. Look, she's walking straight up. What happened to her? It's like some of you, all of a sudden, your neighbors, where are they going? They never went to church before. What happened to them? You know what happened to you, and you know what happened to her, and you know what happened to them? Jesus, that's what happened to them. That's what makes the difference. Jesus. Jesus. There'll always be opposition. There'll always be opposition. On Wednesday night, one of our ladies that's in our discipleship class, something very discouraging happened to her. She ran her car off the road into a ditch. That can be discouraging. Well, I'm going to church. I'm trying to learn about Jesus. And I run my car off into a ditch. There will always be opposition. Let me tell you, the last place Jesus wants you, the last place the world wants you, the devil wants you, the first place Jesus wants you is here. The last place the world or the devil wants you is sitting under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Because Jesus is the cure. And just like these guys here, there was opposition. You hypocrites, Jesus said. You hypocrites. Just a few weeks, we'll be preaching out of Luke chapter 17, and verse 15, and in that verse, those chapters there, that's the 10 lepers that were healed. You remember how many lepers came back to thank Jesus? One. One. If I remember correctly, that one was a Samaritan. Where are the other nine? didn't even have time to thank Jesus. The touch of the Master's hand. The touch of the Master's hand. You see, here the great liberator himself, Jesus Christ, he had accomplished his purpose. And for you and I, we've accepted Christ as our Savior, so that's why he came. But there are still chains. There are still bonds in our life that we need to just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, this is, I really struggle with this. I really fight with this. I'm really tied up in knots with whatever it is for you personally that you're dealing with. I recognize that, Lord, but I recognize that you are the great liberator. You are the great emancipator. You are the one that can break the chains that bind me. And when he does, and even before he does, he's worthy of our praise. By faith, just thank him. By faith, you thank him that he is going to break the chains that are in your life. Don't wait until these chains break and fall off. No, begin to praise him and thank him now. The great liberator has power this morning to set you free from the sin that doth so easily beset you. There is sin in Christians' lives that beset them. Remember what it says in the book of Hebrews, the writer said, laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So let me tell you this morning as we finish, when that, whatever it is, comes into your life and Satan tries to use that to bind you, you look to the great liberator, Jesus Christ. You look to him. Get your eyes off of what's happening here and set your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's the liberator. He's the one. And he'll set you free. He'll set you free. And then if you've never received him as your Savior, this morning you can accept Christ. You need to be born again. Because we're sinners, we're going to die, we're going to go to hell. Someone had to pay for our sin. And the only one who could pay for our sin was Jesus. He was the only one that was sinless. And he went to the cross 2,000 years ago, and all of your sin and all of my sin was placed upon him. And he was paying the price for your sin. And he was buried and he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and over death. That's why as believers, yes, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, but the sin in our lives, we don't have to live under that bondage any longer. He not only died and paid for our sins so we can go to heaven, he died and paid for our sins so he could free us from the bondage of whatever it is in our life that is so afflicting us. It's a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful truth. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. What are you dealing with this morning? What is it that Satan uses just to make you feel so guilty and so unworthy? And you're saying, even now, someone might be saying, you know, Satan, he brings this up. I think of this over again and over again and over again. Jesus doesn't want you to live that kind of life. Just, I'm not going to have a come forward type of an invitation, but listen, right where you sit, and when we stand, just talk to the Lord. And maybe it's not sin. Maybe, oh, Lord, I'm just always so lonely. I need you to comfort me in my loneliness. Maybe there's just heartache. Lord, I have this heartache and it just drags me down. I want victory over it. I seem to be just chained to it. I want that chain broken. Lord, there was unfaithfulness in my life at one time or another. And I confess it to you, but I just want to be free from it. Father, I just pray that you'd bless this invitation and speak to our hearts. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you're here this morning and you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, right here and now, you can call upon Him. Lord, I'm a sinner. You have to admit that to Him. Lord, I'm a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, I believe that Jesus died and He paid for my sin. I believe that. And today I call upon you to be my Savior. I put my trust in you. Right now, call out to Him. Lord, as we conclude this service, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for setting me free from so many things in my life. Help me to always remember that when Satan, the great accuser, comes along, that I'll be mindful to look to you, that I will continue to lift mine eyes up to the hills, to remember that you are the great emancipator, you are the great liberator, that you love me unconditionally, that you care for me beyond my comprehension, that you are just such a great God, and I want to bring glory and honor to you with my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. Give Him glory as we sing. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Oh, hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
All right, let's be dismissed with prayer this morning, and we would encourage you to be back tonight as we gather again at 6 o'clock. And just hope you have a great afternoon. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for the day that you've given us to gather together. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and how it speaks to us, where we're at and where we need. I pray, Lord, if there is one here that's struggling today with just something that has them in bondage, Lord, I pray that the gospel message this morning would set them free, that we would turn our eyes to you. Please bless this day. Be with us as we go our separate ways. Do bring us back safely together again. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're dismissed.